hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. It's the 4th of July holiday here in the United States, and Americans are celebrating their nation's 241st birthday with fireworks, parades, barbecues, and music concerts, among other activities. But I want our VOA listeners to get ready for some sporty fireworks. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
My opening serve on the sunny side of sports is Wimbledon tennis. It's the second day of action at the prestigious grass court tournament in London. Fifth-seeded Stan Wawrinka of Switzerland was the biggest upset victim on Monday. The three-time Grand Slam champion was knocked out in four sets by 21-year-old Russian Daniil Medvedev. The final score from center court at Wimbledon, 6-4, 3-6, 6-4, and 6-1. Meanwhile, another young player, 22-year-old Australian star Nick Kyrgios, retired from his opening match against Frenchman Pierre-Hugues Herbert because of a hip injury. Kyrgios was seeded 20th in the men's draw at Wimbledon. Defending champion Andy Murray got off to a good start as he bids for a third Wimbledon singles title. He won in straight sets against Kazakhstani player Alexander Bublik, 6-1, 6-4, and 6-2. How do you feel about your performance, Andy?
Yeah, played pretty good. Moved quite well. I mean, it's not the easiest match to play because of the way that he plays. There's not loads of rhythm, and he's kind of doing different stuff on each point. Like, I mean, he served some huge, huge serves on first and second serves. He was hitting some 130-mile-an-hour second serves, which you don't really see much these days. And, yeah, just kind of going for his shot. So wasn't loads of rhythm, but I hit the ball well. I don't feel like I made too many unforced errors. I hit the ball pretty clean and got through a tough moment at the end of the second set and did pretty well.
Five-time Wimbledon champion Venus Williams also did pretty well in her opening match, beating the Belgian Elise Mertens in straight sets, 7-6 and 6-4. At the post-match news conference, Venus wiped away tears as reporters asked her about last month's car accident in Florida, from which a passenger in the other vehicle, 78-year-old Jerome Barson, died 2 weeks later. Venus posted on social media last week that she was heartbroken over the incident. While no charges have been filed against Venus, Barson's family has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the tennis star, seeking undisclosed damages. Trying to focus on her tennis, Venus reminded reporters of her history at Wimbledon.
Yeah, this is my 20th Wimbledon, and I never thought that I'd play this many, but I'm grateful to be here and to play, and I love the game.
Elsewhere, another former Wimbledon champion, 2011 and 2014 winner Petra Kvitova, made an emotional return to center court Monday after a knife attack last year at her home in the Czech Republic. 7 months ago, all four fingers on Kvitova's left hand, her tennis hand, were cut by the blade of a knife carried by an intruder, threatening Kvitova's career in the sport. But she's now starring in one of Wimbledon's great comeback stories. Petra Kvitova beat Sweden's Johanna Larsson in straight sets, 6-3 and 6-4, while her coaching team watched the match wearing T-shirts with the slogan, courage, belief, love. Afterwards, Kvitova had this to say.
Was very special, I have to say. The first, when we came on the court, I know British crowd, but today I feel a little bit different. I mean, they screamed a little bit more than normally they do. It was very special for me to feel the energy from the crowd again, and it was through the match all the time. So it was beautiful to be back on the court playing my game on the beautiful center court, of course. I couldn't wish more.
She couldn't wish for more. That's Czech tennis player Petra Kvitova speaking after her first-round victory at the Wimbledon tournament in London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength. A man was calling out of Frankfurt, I made. I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength. Singing, come back.
I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we will examine the contributions politicians of African descent are making and changing toward the political realities in the United States. We'll also discuss the new faces arriving on the political landscape on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
The Voice of America, VOA.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
Vincent Maloba, the beat cop of the Sunny Side of Sports in Nairobi, Kenya, took a break from his patrol and checked out my Facebook page. Vincent saw a photo of a festive 4th of July fireworks celebration right here in Washington, and he wrote, "Happy Independence Day to America. Enjoy the barbecue and fireworks. Long live the USA." Thanks for checking in, Vincent. Now let's go to the Moruleng Stadium in South Africa's Northwest Province. That's where semifinal action takes place Wednesday in the COSAFA Cup Tournament, an annual competition organized by the Council of Southern Africa Football Associations. Zambia will take on Tanzania in the first semifinal, and that will be followed by a match between Lesotho and Zimbabwe. The winners of Wednesday's semifinal matches will advance to the final on July 9th at the Royal Bafokeng Stadium, also in South Africa's Northwest Province. The Taifa Stars of Tanzania eliminated defending COSAFA Cup champion South Africa 1-0 in the quarterfinals, with Elias Maguri getting the goal in the 18th minute. The Taifa Stars of Tanzania are bidding for their first COSAFA Cup trophy, as are the Crocodiles of Lesotho, whose best previous performance was runner-up to Zimbabwe in 2000. The Warriors of Zimbabwe and the Chipolopolo of Zambia, along with Bafana Bafana of South Africa, are tied for most COSAFA Cup crowns, with four each. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Zimbabwe's Ovidi Karuru, who has been banging in the goals in South Africa. Ovidi has a tournament-high 6 goals, putting him 3 goals in front of teammate Ocean Mushuri.
The Voice of America.
South Africa's most popular sports, namely soccer, rugby, and cricket, have had women's teams competing internationally for a long time. But now there's a new, unexpected game attracting women from townships around the country's biggest city, Johannesburg, Ireland's national sport, Gaelic football. It's often described as a mixture of rugby and soccer. In this encore sunny side of sports presentation, reporter Darren Taylor in Johannesburg tells us more.
Kick it in. It's going to drop a little short, but it's dangerously in there. And a goal!
South Africa's Gaelic footballers study the game by watching TV footage of big matches in Ireland. Competitors use their hands and feet to pass the round ball in the air or on the ground to teammates to get close to the opponent's H-shaped posts. Two teams of 15 players each try to score the most points by kicking the ball into the goal net, soccer style, or over the poles, like in rugby.
Yeah, in Ireland, I guess it's a very historical game. It goes back through the centuries, and people take great pride in the local teams. Then on top of that, it's quite an exciting game. It's a running game, high scoring. It's got some
Keith O'Leary, a power plant developer, also coaches South Africa's national Gaelic football team, the SA Gaels. He's supported by fellow Irish expat, computer technologist and team chairman, David Devine.
Gaelic football globally has been Irish expats emigrating, bringing the game with them, having a kick around on a Friday night and going to the pub afterwards. That's been the tradition over the last couple of decades.
But now, Irish men like him and optician and team promoter Derek McCarthy are attracting South Africans to the sport.
We want the locals playing it. We want them absorbing the Irish culture and absorbing the love for the game, which they have been doing. And we started from such a small base, but it is really growing legs, and social media is just a great place to do that.
Hey! Go, go, go!
A trainer drills the SA Gaels at a recent practice.
When the people who come to play for the first, second, third training session realize how easy it is for them to learn the skills, they then start promoting the game on our behalf. They go to their friends, who go to their friends, who go to their friends, and it becomes a bigger circle.
My background, I play soccer, but
Tabiso Pakedi is part of that circle. He explains that Gaelic football is very fast and the training's tough. Pakedi says the different skills demanded by Gaelic football, like dribbling, hitting the ball, and jumping high in the air to grab it, are what persuaded him to play it.
It's physical and handball, kicking, most kicking points, that's the most thing that I love, especially to make the team to win.
The athletic man in his mid-20s captains the SA Gaels. Coach O'Leary says it's difficult for them at this point, as there's no Gaelic Football League in South Africa. So the squad trains in Johannesburg and plays proper matches in the Middle East, where Irish expats have entrenched the sport. The Gaels also visit Ireland as often as possible to learn from the masters. Pakedi recalls his first visit to the Emerald Isle.
Actually, I didn't know what to expect. The situation that we had there, it was the weather. The weather wasn't too good for us as we used to hot condition here.
But Irish coaches are surprised at the high-tempo game played by the South Africans, even on Ireland's storm-lashed, waterlogged, muddy fields.
They did themselves justice for a community to come so far and partake in a game in the conditions that were in it. It was really, really admirable.
A great thing to see. I never thought I'd see a South African team playing on that pitch.
On the Gaels' visits to Ireland, O'Leary says eyes are on them before they touch a ball. He says the Irish are amazed to see black Africans in yellow, red, green and blue jerseys attempting their national sport.
The Irish are very attracted to the team because of the colour and the noise that they bring.
In Ireland, the South Africans pull off the odd victory, but usually lose. Yet even so, they celebrate because they always go down fighting. Divine says for people so new to Gaelic football, they're extremely talented.
I think the players now that we have are some of the best ambassadors that South Africa has from a sporting perspective that travel the world, promoting the game from a South African perspective and just spreading the word to show that they're well capable of taking on some of the best international teams in the world and some of the best club teams at home in Ireland.
Smiling, Pakedi describes his vision of the future of Gaelic football in his country as modest.
Hopefully to see most of South Africans go to Ireland and compete against Irish and then to be the best, as if they are the one who have been playing the game before than the Irish.
Being virtually invisible in soccer-mad South Africa isn't dampening the enthusiasm of players like Pakedi. Instead, it's inspiring them to spread Gaelic football across the country and continent. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
To help us celebrate the USA's 241st birthday on this 4th of July holiday, here's the late, great James Brown, the godfather of soul, with his song, Living in America.
We'll be right back.
feel good. That's the late, great James Brown, the godfather of soul, with Living in America. In cycling, local favorite Arnaud Démare won Tuesday's fourth stage of the Tour de France, with the French rider winning a dramatic finish that featured some nasty crashes. British star Mark Cavendish went down in a spectacular crash just a couple of hundred meters from the finish line of the 207.5-kilometer stage. Now, Cavendish appeared to be hit by an elbow by Slovakian rider Peter Sagan, who won Monday's Stage 3. It's not clear if Cavendish will be able to continue in the grueling tour. His right hand was heavily bandaged after the crash, and his arm was in a sling. Mark Cavendish said after the stage that he has a very good relationship with Peter Sagan, but he wants to talk with the Slovakian cyclist to get an explanation about the elbow that knocked him off the bike. And that wraps up the 4th of July holiday edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
The United States declared independence from Great Britain in 1776 to secure for all Americans their unalienable rights. These rights include, but are not limited to, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Thomas Jefferson, chief author of the Declaration of Independence, by using the word unalienable, claimed two things about our human rights. First, these rights are not given to us by the government. We have them, even if the government does not respect them. Second, we cannot cede these rights to the government, even by our own consent. They cannot be taken away from us, and we cannot give them away. Mr. Jefferson was careful to define our rights in this way, because this definition justified a declaration of independence from Great Britain. Revolt, he argued, was lawful only if, after a long train of abuses and usurpations, a government continued to refuse to respect and secure the rights of its citizens. The Revolution was a last resort to Americans. They had to provide new guards for their future security because of a government that not only exercised despotic power, but also evinced a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. The 56 delegates who signed the Declaration of Independence did not take their duty lightly. They risked being charged with treason against the British government, but recognized it to be necessary. Benjamin Franklin, the eldest signer of the Declaration, said, "We must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly we will hang separately." They were willing to risk their lives to preserve their unalienable rights. Only united could they succeed. On this 4th of July, we Americans celebrate our independence and the heroism of the men and women who risked and gave their lives to secure our unalienable rights. We recognize that these rights are not unique to Americans. Indeed, they belong to every human being. Thus, on Independence Day, we celebrate not only our independence and our rights, but also the rights of all peoples throughout the world.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we will examine the contributions politicians of African descent are making and changing toward the political realities in the United States. We'll also discuss the new faces arriving on the political landscape on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.